But can you actually do quality work, bespoke custom brands and websites, and amazing copy in an intensive? For real? Let's talk about it. You're listening to the No BS Agency Podcast. We talk strategies that can take your 1 to 2 person branding agency from $5,000 to $30,000 per month without hiring employees or working your ass off. All you have to do is cut the BS. I am Pia Silva. My son Axel turned 6 recently, and I threw him a party. I love to throw a good party. So I threw him a party at this place called Space in Brooklyn, and I decided to let him pick the guest list, and he wrote down dozens of names. Everybody in his class, other kids in the school that he's befriended on the playground, all the kids from his old school, all the kids from soccer, all of my friends' kids. It ended up being, with the kids and the parents, about 85 people that RSVP'd yes. It was Mario themed. To accommodate these like 40 kids, we had a long table about 20 feet long that we covered in green tablecloths. And then I bought this runner that looked like a road going all the way down it. It looked so cool. We got Mario themed plates and cups. I bought these gift baskets, gift boxes that looked like the yellow question mark boxes. If you guys know Mario and Mario Kart, right? The question mark boxes and then other ones that were like bricks or something. I baked 8 quiches and hosted boozy brunch for 40-something parents. I made an arugula salad with toasted almonds and shaved Manchego. I made a 4-layered cake that I decorated as the Rainbow Road Mario Kart, which is probably my favorite part of all of this. So like a black cake that had this awesome rainbow going over it. And then I put the stars and the little question mark boxes all around and the little mushrooms. The inside layers of the cake were rainbow. So I piped rainbow into the center of this cake. And then I got little toys that were of the Mario, you know, the Mario Karters, Mario and Luigi, whoever. And they were on the Rainbow Road. Steve like handmade this really awesome sign that said, you know, happy birthday, Axel, that we stuck on top. So it made the cake a bit higher. We had snacks. We had juice boxes. We had fruit salad. We had probably 100 balloons. I got a helium tank. Obviously, I had a happy birthday sign in the Mario theme. I made sure that we had champagne for mimosas and beer and all the things. I planned this for months and then executed it over a couple of weekends. Sunday morning, when it was almost time to go, I had to go get a couple of fresh things from the supermarket. I wanted to make sure that the fruit was fresh. So I went to Whole Foods that morning and I knew that I had like a couple of extra hours that I didn't have anything to do. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to make some mini cupcakes because it's super easy. I'll get a box. I'll get box cake for the mini cupcakes, even though I made the 4-layer chocolate birthday cake from scratch. I got vanilla cake mix and I made like, I don't know, like 36, 48 mini cupcakes because I still had frosting left over. And I was like, ooh, it'll be really easy. I'll just frost these 46 mini cupcakes like the mushrooms, right? Like the red with the white dots. Why am I telling you all of this? Because you need to know that I am not the kind of person who will slack on the quality of basically anything. I was texting my friend Priya throughout this and I told her, I don't know why I'm making these mini cupcakes. Like, it's so unnecessary. I had a little bit of extra time. And she was like, because that's how we do things, Pia. We do things all the way or not at all. And I said, you're right. I can't help myself. This is how I do stuff. I just wanted to give you some context of the kind of person who developed the process of the intensives that I've been talking about inside the No BS Agency model. Shortcuts that lead to quality issues, not really on my radar or something that is ever acceptable to me. So in that context, let's talk about, is it possible to create quality work in an intensive? A resounding yes. I couldn't do it any other way. First, I'd love to look at a couple of assumptions that I think people make when they hear intensives and they think lower quality. Assumption number one, quality work comes from more time. Assumption number two, clients having lots of time with work makes the work better, either because as they think about the work, they'll come up with more ideas or thoughts that are going to help, or because they'll get great ideas and feedback from other people in their world that will also help the project. And assumption number three, creative work only gets better the longer you work on it. I call BS on all of these. Let's go through them one by one. Assumption number one, quality work comes from more time. There's this legendary story about Picasso. You know, Picasso was famous while he was alive. And one day he was sitting at a cafe with his friend when an admirer approached him and asked him if he wouldn't mind doing just a quick sketch on a paper napkin for her. And Picasso politely agrees. He creates a drawing for her and hands back the napkin, but not before asking her for $3,000. And the lady is shocked. She goes, "How can you ask me for so much money? This took you less than 5 minutes." And he said, "Oh, no, no, no. This took me 40 years. Expertise, especially when you are a creative, is the genius that you can create after a lifetime of study and practice and work. Let's look at this from a different angle. How long does something usually take you when you're very new at it, brand new at it? Probably takes you a longer time, right? Because you're just learning something. As you get better at something, does it usually take more time or less time than it did when you were first starting? Okay, usually it will take you less time, right? Because you've gotten better at this thing. You're not learning it anymore. So if the better you get, the less time it takes you to do something, why would we assume that more time means better work? I think you'd agree there are plenty of people in this world who spend way too much time creating stuff that absolutely sucks. So why do we equate time with quality? Intensives are not about being rushed. It's about focusing on one project until it's done, becoming completely immersed in that project. By all means, do your thing. Do your best work. You don't need weeks in between this process with meetings and revisions. Creative work does not want to be stopped and started and go along on an external client's timeline. You do not get your best work when you have to change course based on changes that a client is making. You do not do your best creative work when you become completely immersed for a couple of days and then you can't look at it for another couple weeks and then you have to do it again. Nor do you need more and more time as you become more and more skilled. You should need less time to do the same or more high quality work. Now, you still need time, of course. I'm not trying to say that you're going to do this in an instant, but the more skilled you are, the more your job is just as much about curating the right voice, curating copy design, as it is about actually writing the words, designing the brand. So the mindset shift that you need to make is that time does not equal quality. Assumption number two, clients having more time with the work and getting more opinions and having more ideas is going to lead to a better result. You all know what I mean by design by committee, right? It's this death by a thousand paper cuts experience when you have a creative project and you then have a board of directors or a committee of people that have to agree on it. And what often happens? Well, this person thinks this thing and that person thinks that thing and they disagree and it starts to water down the work. In my experience in that environment, the outcome, the result at the end is not the best work for the project. It is the piece of work that was most palatable to the most number of people. And we all know that when you are placating a room full of people where everybody has to agree on it, usually it's going to get watered down. It is going to be more generic, more dull. That's why the brands of the biggest companies in our world have really safe, kind of boring, same brands. Doesn't mean they're not effective. Doesn't mean they don't work. But if I think of Target and Walmart and Apple and Starbucks and all the car brands, like they all have distinct, unique brands, but those brands are not going to cut it for any small businesses. They're boring. They're same. They operate on a different level. They have to appeal to a wide mass audience, which means they can't really make a statement. They can't really say anything interesting at all because they don't want to offend anybody. Clients of small to medium-sized businesses hire you because they are not branders, designers, marketers. They hire you as the expert. So when a client has a lot of time with the work so that they can come up with their ideas and they can ask their friends, what they're doing is they're looking for ways to bring in new ideas and opinions that are not necessarily aligned with their goals. Or what clients are often doing when they're looking out into the world for other ideas, or they're asking their friends or colleagues, or they're collecting opinions and then coming back with different ideas, what they're saying to you is, I don't really trust what you're saying as the best idea for this. So I need to go out and I need to source good ideas, or I need to come up with it, which I've talked about this in many episodes. The foundation of a really successful intensive and a really successful creative project in general is trust and the client seeing you as the authority and the expert in the room. So anytime a client is mulling over something, thinking about it, looking for new thoughts and revisions that they want to give, what they're really saying is, I don't quite trust you to lead this. So I need to lead it. And that's one of the reasons that projects go on and why there's so much scope creep and why projects change course is because clients don't really trust you. Again, a topic for another episode, but I have not found that the quality of the work goes up when clients are doing that. Not only will they often water it down or take it on the wrong course, but they will also feel less confident about their decisions in the end. Because anytime a client is bringing you significant changes and revisions, and you have to make them, well, now the trust is completely lost. You have turned from expert to freelancer. You have turned from somebody who is showing them what this brand and message should be to somebody who is trying to execute something that is in the brains of them and possibly other people that you're not even talking to. Part of the reason that this intensives model was built was because Steve's work was really good. I knew that I knew what I was doing. And when I found that our long drawn out projects would get watered down, I felt like it was doing a disservice to the client. And I found in this process, they actually got the best version of their work from us by not spending weeks and months rethinking things or coming up with different ideas. I just didn't find that the outcome was better. And I often found that it was worse. If you've ever been a part of a project that went on too long, and by the time it's launched, everyone's kind of just relieved that it's over, it's a bummer, right? It's a letdown. You're so enthusiastic at the beginning of the project, and then by the end, it's like, oh my God, can we just launch this website, please? Right? Can I just whatever? I used to be in projects where by the end, I was like, I don't even care what this logo looks like. Like, just pick one, right? Like, we did our best work, and we knew it was great, and it would have been great for you. But if you, client, take it to a different place and start picking it apart, things that don't even matter. By the end, it's like, oh my goodness, just pick it. We're so done with this, right? We have no more excitement for your project. And frankly, the clients aren't super enthused either, because that's not an enjoyable process. So not only does the work suffer, but the relationship suffers, and the relationship of your client to the work suffers. In an intensive, complete opposite thing happens. The clients are on cloud 9 at the beginning of the intensive and at the end. It's a short enough period of time where a client is enthusiastic and excited the entire way through. And when it launches, they're so psyched to get it out there. They don't lose momentum or lose enthusiasm over weeks and months of a project. And their enthusiasm and confidence in that project is going to make the value of the project itself higher. And assumption number 3, creative work only gets better the longer you work on it. I'm going to give you an example from the art world because Steve is a painter. He's always been an artist. And I have watched him evolve over the years and get better. And one of the things that I actually talk to him about a lot, and one of the things that he struggles with, is restraint. So Steve paints primarily Brooklyn. He paints our neighborhood, and some of his paintings are quite large. And when he makes a really big canvas, there have been times where the painting looks amazing, and then he keeps going, and he keeps filling it in. And then he gets to a certain point where he's like, I should have left it. You know, it looked better before, and I had to keep adding stuff and keep working it. And what's been so interesting for me to observe is this struggle that he had with stopping. And knowing when to stop because the piece was done, especially in the impressionist style that he paints in, sometimes leaving a whole area of the painting a little unfinished or open and not filling it in with more details. That's what makes his paintings so dynamic. That's what makes them so interesting and so him. In some cases, it's actually easier to just keep working the painting, keep adding stuff, keep adding details. Steve can paint really realistic stuff, but he doesn't. Realistic for him is actually kind of easier. It's more craft. Realistic is more craft because I see the thing and I'm painting it, and I can keep painting the details and make it more and more look like the thing. Whereas art, impressionist art, is about I'm painting how it feels, I'm painting what I want it to express, and that means that I have to decide when this expression is finished, and I can overwork it. I find the same thing is true for design. Maybe not exactly like art, but there is a common experience. I've watched Steve do brands in the exact same way. I've watched him create amazing brands and then keep working on it, and we have to go back and say, you know what? You actually nailed it really early on. That's about curation, right? I've seen Steve nail a logo and a brand, but not feel okay about it because it happened early on. Well, this was too soon, right? I didn't spend enough time on this. So I need to work more because this can't possibly be it. And I've watched him do a lot more work. And then after we look at everything, we say, you know what? Like that second thing that you made is actually the best one and it's awesome. And I understand that this is a level of confidence that comes with time and comes with experience. But the more expert you get, the better you're going to be at seeing and having confidence in that this is the right one and not needing to spend more time just to feel better about it. Creative work does not always get better. There is a ramp up to doing some really great work, and it's not a defined amount of time, right? Some are going to be easier than others. But expertise in this space, in my opinion, is about just as much about being able to see and identify that is it. That is the brand. That is the logo. That is the message that is going to resonate with that audience, that's going to achieve that goal for the client. And it doesn't matter if it's the first thing I popped out or it took me a really long time. Building your own inner confidence in being able to see that is probably the most valuable skill you can have. It's why in agencies, creative directors get paid the most, because that's what creative directors are doing. They're looking at all the work and they're going, that one. And it doesn't matter if that one is the one that you made first or you made last. They're just able to pick it out. And that's why they're worth so much more than the freelancers or the designers that work under them. As the head of your company, you are both the designer and the creative director. So the better you get at curating and the confidence to say, this is it, not only will the work be better, but you will be more and more profitable. And guess what? The cherry on top, or maybe the most important part of it, is that your clients will get the best results. And like I said in the beginning, I don't skimp, and I don't want you to either. Let's get our clients the highest value out of our projects as we can. The intensives model and the no BS model is about cutting away all the BS that isn't feeding that value. Projects that run on the traditional model, so much of the time that is spent, it has nothing to do with the value of the work itself. It has to do with the client management. It has to do with the meetings and the emails, the energetic space that it takes up in your life. Intensives gets rid of that so that 90% of your time and effort is spent on the thing that actually matters, which is the work, and making sure the work nails the brief and gets the client to their goal. Intensives cuts away the other stuff so that you can focus on the thing that matters. When you are doing one of the default model, long drawn out projects, you feel like you're working really hard because you are. And sometimes that your brain equates that with, so it's worth the money they're paying us. But I call BS. The only thing that matters and the money should be paying for is the value of the outcome and the result. That's it. And it shouldn't matter how long it takes. And it shouldn't take a long time just to justify a price. Now, how do you do this? That's what we teach step by step inside No BS Agency Mastery. I think a big fear that people have when they hear this is, well, first of all, I can't imagine doing it in that short amount of time. And what if it doesn't work? Or what if the client doesn't like the work? I'll talk about that in next week's episode. But if this is something that you are interested in because you see and you want to increase the value of what you put out for your clients, you want to deliver more value and you'd like to make more money doing it, go to nobsagencies.com/program. We help 1 to 2 person branding agencies scale to $20, $30, $50,000 months without employees by making your process more efficient and more valuable. Imagine if you could deliver more value in less time and charge more. What would that do for your business? It is the difference between being overworked and underpaid and being the empowered business owner with freedom and flexibility in your life that I think is why you went into business in the first place. NoBSAgencies.com/program. Check out the video on that page. Book a call with our team. Maybe now is the time. Maybe it's in the future, but at least you'll know and you'll get some insights and some coaching from my team to help you see what might be possible for you. Because this isn't for everyone. I promise you, this does not work for everyone and we can't help everybody. No time like the present to see if this might be a good fit for you and your goals. That's all I've got for you today. I will talk to you next week. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'll be back next week with more no BS tips for your agency so you can find more profit, ease, and freedom. The No BS Agency podcast is produced by Yellow House Media. Coordinator is Lou Blazer. This episode is edited by Marty Seafelt. Creative direction by Sean and Tara McMullen. Our theme music is Knock 'Em Down by The Shrugs.